Welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't listened to us before, we're all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to episode 6 of the season. We're doing something slightly different today, as we had two guests who both selected the same song. So we've combined both their interviews together. In this episode, you'll hear from Anthony Vaccaro, who is the guitarist in the band Beach Bunny and a solo artist as well. And we also have Tess Parks, a musician and photographer. They're both talking about the song Rose Parade from the Either Or album. Anthony is speaking to Elizabeth Wood Stanley, and Tess is speaking to me.
My name's Anthony Vaccaro. I play guitar, I write in Beach Bunny, a touring member, and I also have other projects, but yeah.
I'm Tess, and I'm an artist.
And what Elliott Smith song have you chosen to talk about as your favorite today?
I went with Rose Parade off of Either Or.
To start us off, tell us, what is your favorite Elliott Smith song?
It's really hard to pick just one, but I went with Rose Parade. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Down the street like the Duracell bunny, the winking away from the cavalcade, throwing out candy that looks like money.
When I was thinking about what song I would choose, there's probably 10 I was thinking of, and I chose Rose Parade because I feel like as time has gone on since I was a teenager, that's the constant song I've said to people to start listening to, like to get into him. And it's also a song that I think really sort of changed my life, viewing him as one of my favorite songwriters.
So how do you feel like the song changed your life?
I think as a Midwesterner from Chicago my whole life, when I heard the song initially, calling itself a Rose Parade, I thought this was some sort of like fictional, like not real thing. Like he just like made up this whole entire like scene and story. And then as time has gone on, I've learned that it in itself is actually real. And I think for me, it's like, it's a very Midwestern mindset of where you just know where you come from. And then eventually finally you leave your home and you just learn so much more about the world. I was just more of, I think I was, I don't know how to verbalize this properly. I think that I was so enamored by his sort of almost like storytelling songwriting, and it seemed almost as if it was fictional. But then as time goes on, you learn as a writer, it's like a lot of things are just very autobiographical.
There's this feeling I get that when I listen to it with a lot of his songs, but I think, yeah, and it's one, maybe a happier sounding one. It sounds very like gentle in a way. And I love the way his voice sounds. I love the production on it. I love the words. Yeah, it's like a really nostalgic sounding song, and it paints such a visual picture. So many different images come up when you listen to this song.
What kind of images do you get?
I mean, just the imagery of a rose parade, right? So many different images can come to mind of like just like overflowing, like I guess like, yeah, American Beauty, or like so many different, you can kind of riff off of the idea of a rose parade a lot. But then there's also like the actual rose parade that he's referencing, I think, on New Year's Day in Pasadena. And yeah, the Duracell bunny, and just like picturing all these people, handing out candy that looks like money. Just like, yeah, there's so many different like visual references in there that it really inspires the imagination, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I love some of the lines in there are amazing. Like the trumpeter that's obviously been drinking.
Yeah, because he's fucking up even the simplest things.
Exactly, yeah. As you say, it just kind of really takes you there.
Right? Yeah, it's like, yeah, you just, I don't know. Yeah, so much of his music, it feels like it's like some an observer like walking around and just like, he just really got it.
To people passing by that all seem to be going the other way. So won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade?
I was initially showed Elliot Smith by one of my still good friends, Jeremy. I think I was probably 18 years old. And he was showing me all of his music. And at first I was kind of taken aback because I was like, there's a naturalness of like, what is this sort of melancholic acoustic music? And then you start sort of like actually deep diving and you're like, whoa, this is crazy. And I think, yeah, the lyrics from like making you, I don't know, from the, like even though the Duracell bunny line, it's just like, as a kid, I was always fascinated by Duracell bunnies. It's just like somehow these things cross and you're like, how is this possible?
The Duracell bunny line's funny because remember there were those commercials for a while where you'd see the Duracell like in a parade sort of thing.
And it was just like, even then further, like not, I hate saying the word meta, but it was just like very self-aware and almost like, I don't know. It was just, I think lyrically the song just really spoke to me initially. And then as time has gone on more and more, and to me as a songwriter, I think then more of the craft of it is sort of like really taking me aback.
I mean, it's a very vivid picture that it paints lyrically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of great writers, including himself, they really have that sort of, that I guess that ability to quote unquote, like almost like a reading like a good book or something. It like, it's like the idea of where you can envision the story that this person is telling you and then tell it, like it relates to you. It's like, it's all about, I think a lot of times art is very about relating to each other. And like, for some reason, this one has always related to me.
Do you remember when this song first kind of gripped you?
No, actually. I feel like, so yeah, I found out that, about Elliot Smith the day that he died on NME.com. And yeah, then I got into him and I feel like, yeah, I just started kind of sourcing out his CDs and just took it album by album, I guess. I'm trying to think though. Yeah, I feel like maybe the self-titled one was the first one that I acquired. And then EXO. Yeah, I don't know when I got either or. I think I might have been in London, actually. I think I might have been at the Virgin Megastore, like 4 for $20 in Piccadilly Circus.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was a good time. Yeah, but yeah, so he was one of those artists that, yeah, and it was at that time, too, in our lives where, like, yeah, CDs were still, that was how you got into it. So whenever, like, you got a CD, it was like, okay, like, yeah, you're about to go on this like whole journey. And it wasn't like, here's a song on Spotify on a playlist and here's one song and you might never hear the whole album at all.
Mm.
So
do you think Rose Parade was one of the songs that when you got that CD, that was like one of the ones that first kind of really stood out to you?
For sure. But then, I mean, Cupid's Trick is on there too. That's a like a big one. Say Yes. And then I had found like all of these bootlegs of him singing like Oasis covers. And so I was, yeah. That to me, I was like, wow, kindred spirit for sure.
Tripped over a dog in a choke chain collar. People were shouting and pushing and saying, traded a smoke for a food stamp.
I think the naturally, I mean, like to the progression itself is really cool, but I think the main part is like, it can be challenging to have sort of, I guess, down tempo-y acoustic based music, like, be interested to somebody like me who grew up like listening to a lot of like punk rock and stuff. Like, I grew up listening, like, my father's a punk rocker. It's like my whole family loves that stuff. It's like he still plays the kind of music my friends that stuff. Like, everything has been always like heavier. But then I think, like, as time has gone on, researching more into Elliot and like learning about like Heat Miser or like a lot of his other works, it's like he had the similar background as well with that kind of heavier stuff. So it entail sort of like makes sense. It's like soft music made for like heavy listeners or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you play guitar, right?
Yeah, I play guitar mainly. Yeah, mainly. And I also sing and write songs in my project Helicopter Leaves, which is where I feel I take a lot more Elliott Smith's like sort of nuances, especially like recording approaches, but more with Beach Bunny. I feel like it's like I really like his use of like just chord inversions and the idea of, he's one of my favorite guitar players, honestly, because he's almost like a one-man band in a lot of these songs, doing almost like multi-parts on one instrument. It's very challenging music to learn, honestly.
Have you tried to learn any of the song?
Yeah, I my good friend Jeremy can play almost all of them, but for myself, I feel like, I think the first one I ever learned was Condor Avenue. That was the first song I learned by him. And that took me way too long for some reason. I was younger, but no, I feel most of his music, I've definitely studied it. Like, I've definitely have, like, I, even when I was younger, I bought the acoustic guitar he had, a Yamaha FG-180. I was a big fan. Yeah. I was a very big fan.
Are there any aspects of Rose Parade that kind of inspire you or have influenced you in terms of your own work?
Yeah, well, so many of his lyrics have like just ended up in my own songs. There are some from years ago. I was probably like listening to him at the time and then just doing like my stream of consciousness writing, and it'll just like hear a line and put it in there or something. But there's a song we released in last year called California's Dreaming. And I sing on New Year's Day, we found you clapping at the Rose Parade. I don't know. And then there was another one. There's a song called Happy Birthday Forever, where I sing We'll Kiss Again Between the Bars. I think that maybe that's it, just two.
Yeah. Is that because you were listening to those songs at the time, or were they're just sort of implanted in your mind?
I think, yeah, there are just certain songs that like get stuck in your head, or like certain things that just, you know, it's like a mantra or something, and they just come up. And yeah, when I'm writing, and it just like stream of consciousness, you know, it's like, okay, like this is just the next thing that popped into my head, and it fits and it works and it rhymes, or and also it's nice to have a nod to, you know, it's like Bob Dylan nodding to Woody Guthrie in his music. And I feel like every artist has always like, you know, had to be like, hey, like, I love you.
Won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade? Won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade?
So going back, so you're 18, your friend Jeremy says, hey, check this out, this Elliott Smith. So you start listening to it. You start with Either Or?
He went right in. He was like, he started me with Either Or because he knows that I'm like a big like Dinosaur Jr., Sebado, Quasi, just like all that kind of stuff. And the missing link was Elliott Smith's music. And he sort of knew where to guide me. And I think within initially listening to Either Or, I wish I can remember the specific. I feel like he probably just made me listen to like Ballad of Big Nothing. And then I was, you know, blown away. I was just like, what is this? It's almost like it reminds me of, you know, like Big Star and all those like 70s power pop stuff I love. And then I think eventually one day I just listened to the whole entire thing and I just kept coming back to Rose Parade for some reason. It's just like a, it's like a, I don't know, like it's something calling out to you in the water or something. It's just, I kept going back to it.
And then were you like, okay, I got to hear more by this guy.
And then straight up, it became, oh yeah, it became a full, like, just listen to it. All of it is all the time. Like I think now I'm 29 years old. So this is well over a decade now. I feel I was really just, I just went through all of it. And I now have like, you know, purchased every sort of remaster or reissue on vinyl. And I've like collected like 7 inches and just, I've been into it. The only thing I think that it's like, maybe I never knew about the Good Will Hunting stuff till much later.
Oh,
like I didn't know about like all the XO and the Good Will Hunting. And at first, like my natural tendencies is coming from sort of like, an anti-establishment household is like, oh, that's a major film, you know, don't watch that. And it's just like, no, it's like, it's good stuff. It's a good movie. It's a good story. But like, there's that, you know, the Grammy performance where he's wearing his white suit. It's just iconic stuff.
Yeah. Huh. So you got it. You found that later.
I did. It's for some reason, this happens constantly in my life where it's like, I had a friend show me, you know, Belle and Sebastian. And I never watched like any film that any Belle and Sebastian song was in. And I still don't think I even have, you know, it's just like stuff like that. I feel like I always find creative, like music through word of mouth and through like personal experience, not so much through like film and TV, weirdly enough.
I think when I asked you if you'd be interested in being a guest on this podcast, you probably reacted in the most excited way of anyone I've ever asked before.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's as far as I could tell. Do you think, what makes you so excited about Elliot Smith?
That makes me so happy that you said that, because I love being excited about this. And I genuinely am so honored to be part of this. I don't know. I feel like I've dipped in and out in the past few years of loving music the way that I did when I was younger. And I don't know, just trying to find my why again, you know, like recentering. And Elliot Smith's always been just, yeah, one of those people that were, yeah, he's someone I listen to and I'm reminded of like why I love music so much and the healing power of music. And yeah, just, it's really, it's something I could talk about a lot. You know, it's something I know like confidently that I can talk about and I love it, you know.
As a musician, do you feel like you're thinking about his music while you're putting music together, either in your own projects or with Beach Bunny?
Yeah, I feel like, especially Helicopter Leaves, I feel like I definitely am applying a lot of like his, like sometimes when I get stuck in ruts of writing, either I guess for Beach Bunny or for Helicopter Leaves, it's like I sort of like think what quote unquote what have the greats done to like get me out of this hole of confusion. And it, at first it can be, you know, I can be like, okay, I want this to, you know, I want this to be more of a sadder part. And you know, there's a lot of parts that Elliot has written that are, you know, melancholic sounding, and I'm like, okay, what are these inversions he's playing? Or like, he does a lot of like walk down stuff, and like I love that. Or the idea of not really moving your hand up and down the neck really fast, but sort of like working in your like box and like sort of seeing like what notes were already there that you didn't even realize because you're too, I don't know, busy to like just move your hand around all the time. He was very like kind of like first position, you know, guitar playing, like sort of hammer on, like stay in like the box, which is, as a songwriter, is the thing, you know. What did they say? You need 3 chords, you can start a band, kind of thing.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. So Elliot's helping you kind of get out of those writer's block moments.
Yeah, I think it always kind of it goes back to when you're like, don't know, a kid in school and something confuses you. It's like, let's simplify this, or let's reference something that we already understand to sort of create like the base again to build up again.
Trumpet is obviously been drinking, 'cause he's fucking up even the simplest lines. I'd say it's a sight that's quite worth seeing. It's just that everyone's interest is stronger.
There's that moment where like the drums kick in on the song, which I think is like maybe one of like the top five Elliott Smith moments.
It's so good. Like, and I mean, that always gets me in a song. Yeah. Just, it's so, yeah. The production on here is like pretty minimal, you know, it's not like a wall of sound, you know, you can really hear all the beautiful intricate parts and like, yeah, even like there's like kind of like the hiss of the microphone or the room. And I don't know. Yeah, it just feels like you're in like a, yeah, it's very nostalgic sounding to me. It feels like you're there in the room.
I think on a narrative level, what it showed me is that you can sort of, you can write about anything because life is anything. You can like create the narrative part of a story that could just, you know, like, be about him, you know, watching the parade, or like, will you see me at the parade? It's like, it's almost very not nursery rhymey, but in a way it's like kind of like just relatable to everybody. And I think from a young age also, I was really enamored on a musical level of the like how down tempo and sort of like the acoustic down tempo sort of like doesn't have to be like hard hitting you the whole time kind of thing. And even like how he like layers drums in the songs, and the idea that you can make a record in your home was also like mind blowing. 'Cause my first helicopter record I made in my home. 'Cause I'm like, that's what you do when you start making music. You know, when you have a band, you know, maybe no one really cares, and you make records at your friend's house or your house or someone's basement. Like, I'm currently talking to you from my like basement studio that I like demo all my music and like work on Beach Bunny records and everything from. Just like the home recording studio is like the life-changing thing if you have access to that.
The title of the song, Rose Parade, and sort of what one thinks about with a parade, it's definitely a bit more upbeat musically, like when you think about a parade, but he's doing something different.
Yes.
With the music. And
yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's always that sort of like the opposition to do what people expect of you creatively a lot. And I don't know if it's like a purposeful thing or it's like ingrained in him. It's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, let's do the thing where, you know, the song sounds like you're going to meet your grandma for ice cream and she's going to tuck you in at night and you're going to dream of, you know, of puppies, but have the lyrical content, you know, be like, you know, the whole, like, when they clean the shit, when they clean the street, I'll be the only shit that's left behind, you know, like that line. Like, it's just like, it's awesome. I don't know. It shows you like the duality of like, of living. It's like things can, you know, be happy or sound happy but make you feel low, or things can be low and they can make you feel fulfilled. It goes either way. It's like feelings and existence is just such a complex thing. I mean, you know, look what happened to his life. It's like it's being alive is, you know, as my grandpa says, it's a pain in the ass.
When they clean the street, I'll be the only shit that's left behind.
I read in 2018, you said that Elliott Smith hasn't had the recognition he deserves. Do you think that's still the case too? Still the case today?
I don't know. What do you think? I feel like he's still kind of, he could be more known.
It's true. I agree. But I kind of feel like in recent years, he's been this is just purely anecdotal, my own thoughts. I have not done a study on it, but I think that he is beginning to receive some more recognition And I feel like people are talking about him more. I feel like there's, when you go on social media, for example, there's feels like there's way more Elliot Smith related kind of memes and general content than there ever was when, you know, back in 2018, say, for example, a couple of years before that. No one was really talking about him. That's just, and it's just the kind of feeling that I get, I think, that he's getting his flowers, as people might say online.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's all, it's also kind of like that nice level of recognition where you're not, it still feels like a special gem, and it's not like, you know, mass, like, you know, everyone's wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, and it's not like this cherished band that you love so much and it really means a lot to you. So I feel like, yeah, there are certain artists where it still feels like it's your own a little bit more than sharing it with the world, like Coldplay. And it's also, it's strange when people die and they get more famous, right? And that's just normal, I feel, it just happens. And then more people in the world get born, and so there's more people to know about this person, and therefore they get more famous by default, you know? Yeah, for now, I think he's... it's only just going to get more, I guess.
Yeah, with more people alive to know who he is.
Yeah, right.
It's just maths. so one thing I was interested in is, I think in 2013, you organized a tribute show in Toronto.
Wow, I love that you know this. Yeah.
How was that?
Oh my God. So it was awesome. And it was on his birthday in August 2013. And I had all these friends who I had met in Toronto that loved Elliot Smith also. I didn't actually perform because I can't sing his songs for some reason. Like his range, like the way that he sings, it just like I can't do it properly. A bunch of these friends who were like nervous to perform their own songs, like ended up, everyone played a song, and some friends like went on to like form bands after that, which was super cool. And all the proceeds went to Kids Help Phone. It was a really good night. It's something I would love to like do more of. But I've DJed at another one at the Hagerston in like 2014 or 15.
You know, what you've said about yourself, you know, that you too are also observing the world and taking those thoughts and maybe making something about, you know, the human experience, which I think is a lot of what Elliot does in his songs. And that's kind of how people can relate to them a lot, right?
Yeah, I think it goes back to when you're a teenager and you're sort of like, what am I? Who am I? Where am I? What is it? What is life? And you sort of are just kind of, I guess, genuinely confused. At least I was as a teenager. And I think my whole life, it's like I've always felt like that. I always was sort of like, looking around me and being like, what is happening? You know, I've been lucky, you know, I love both of my parents, and I have a good family. And, you know, when I was younger, I had my spouts of, you know, drugs and drinking and stuff and, you know, figuring things out, and a cigarette smoker. And now I'm pretty much completely sober. And it sort of just makes you like, just look around things. And I think when you are a kid, and you find somebody who sort of has the same sort of vibe as you, or the same sort of idea of you of life, of like just sort of, you know, observing and taking it in and actually like, you know, looking up and not staring at your phone or staring at the floor. It really is. It took me aback. And I'm like, the whole like, oh, there's, it's like finding a friend. I feel like Elliot Smith's music from a young age was like, you know, finding this friend who I never met, weirdly enough, my father's girlfriend got to meet him in Portland when she was very young. She met him for a quick second along the water, and I was like, how was it? She was like, he was totally nice, and he just walked away after he signed something for us. And I was like, what a beautiful story. But no, I mean, yeah, it's great. But yeah, I think it's the idea of like, there's other people like you out there, and it's okay to be you kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, I know for me, it's always a comfort, you know, listening to Elliot's music. I haven't listened to albums in a while, and then one comes on, I'm like, oh, why wasn't I listening to this? Like, I feel so much better now.
Yes. No, it's I think that's why I always gravitated to music. And I feel like even, you know, I think, what is his name? I think like Nietzsche, who wrote the Either Or book, I think he talks about like music's like the highest art or something. It's like, it's so healing. Like music is just so healing, you know, and it can change your life. Like when you're hungry and you have a sandwich, you know, it can change your life.
And just to finish us off, Tess, I wanted to ask about kind of Elliot Smith and how he influences you. And you touched on it a little bit, but I didn't know if you could elaborate on that a bit more about the different ways in which he's influenced you over your career.
Yeah, I feel like just, I guess, him being a like singer-songwriter under his own name, I think people that have done that his real name isn't Elliot Smith, is it? So
Stephen.
Nope, so that's not true, but
it is kind of, but it's like the name that he went by.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I think that always has inspired me. And like the fact that like seeing anyone be able to go and sit on a stage on their own and play an acoustic guitar always inspired me. And just, yeah, that kind of infinite like sadness that he's kind of known for. Just wanting to like be in a, to help hopefully heal people through music the way that he helped heal me through music. And, you know, it was like a voice when felt like there was no other voice that understood. It was a voice that I could listen to that felt like I wasn't alone. So, that's always kind of been the drive behind me doing this too.
Thanks a lot to Anthony and Tess for being on the show. If you'd like to find out more about their work, you can find links in the episode notes. That's it for today. Please do give us a follow on social media. We're at My Fave E. Smith Song. And do rate and review the podcast if you're enjoying it as well. We'll be back with a new episode in a couple of weeks' time. See you then.